Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, says six of its employees were killed yesterday in an Israeli airstrike on one of the schools it runs in central Gaza, where about 5,000 displaced people are reported to have been sheltering. Israel has claimed that the attack was aimed at Hamas command and control centre. Tánaiste Micheál Martin this morning condemned that attack, saying, "We must never allow this to be normalised or take for granted the risks humanitarian workers take with their own lives to help others." I'm joined now by Juliette Tuma, who's Director of Communications for UNRWA. Good morning, Juliette.
Good morning, Claire.
So we have heard this awful news that six UNRWA staff were among those killed after that airstrike at the school. It's a shelter in central Gaza. And this is the highest death toll, is it not, amongst your staff in a single incident?
Yes, that's correct. Look, absolutely horrible. Whenever we think it can never get worse, in fact, it does. And yesterday we confirmed that six of our colleagues were killed in an airstrike. In fact, there were two, one on the shelter and one nearby the shelter. And this shelter was home to 12,000 people who were displaced from their homes because of the war. And these are our colleagues who are managing that shelter, providing humanitarian assistance to those who needed most. It's, I mean, I'm not sure we have the words anymore or the right way to pay tribute to these colleagues of ours. It just doesn't stop. So.
This school, though, has been a particular target, hasn't it? It's been hit five times, I understand, since the war began.
Yes, and schools must never be hit. Schools should be protected at all times. United Nations buildings should be protected at all times. And we remind all parties that they should do exactly that, so refrain from hitting civilians and civilian infrastructure, and also for parties to the conflict not to use civilian facilities, including schools, for military or fighting purposes. There are people who are sheltering in those schools. There are colleagues of ours who are working in that school and in many, many schools. They are doing their job. They're providing humanitarian assistance. Let them do their work. And let this war come to an end.
Can we talk a little, though, about what Israel has said here in the aftermath? The Israeli military saying that its air force had conducted a precise strike on terrorists who were operating inside a Hamas command and control centre on the school grounds.
Well, first of all, Claire, you and I have spoken several times after these incidents because I'm afraid these have become commonplace in this war. What we do know at UNRWA is they were six people. There were six people, six colleagues of ours who were killed. We understand that there were also other civilians who were killed. And this is not new. Since the war began, two-thirds of our buildings at UNRWA, United Nations buildings, have been hit. And if there are these claims from the Israeli authorities, which are also commonplace, because every time we have a facility, a building hit, we hear that exact argument from the Israeli. And that is very, very serious. It's a very serious argument to put forward. And this is precisely why we have asked on a number of occasions, multiple times, and I say it here again, there needs to be investigations into these very serious claims. And this is precisely why last night in our statement, we called on all parties to the conflict not to use civilian facilities for fighting on military purposes.
If you're calling on all military operations not to be held or for your facilities not to be used for military operations, does that then suggest that you're not fully clear that this particular school was not being used by terrorists?
We don't know. Exactly. We don't know because every time what we do know is that our school is hit. That we know. Mm-hmm. We know that our colleagues were killed. Why it happened, what are the circumstances, we don't know. And this is precisely why we ask for commissions of inquiry and investigations. Precisely why.
It must be increasingly difficult for you in UNRWA to ask staff to work in these conditions. I believe 220 at least of the UNRWA staff now have been killed in Gaza since the start of the war, Juliet. It's increasingly dangerous.
Yes, it's a huge human toll. We've never had anything like this in the history of the United Nations since we started working just after the Second World War. And it's absolutely dreadful, except our staff, and we have thousands of them who are on the front lines, in our schools, providing humanitarian assistance, bringing in the very little supplies that the Israeli authorities allow us to bring and distribute it to people. We've just undertaken a very, very big vaccination campaign against polio to vaccinate children. Our staff are there. They are committed to the communities that we serve, which is the Palestinian people of Gaza. All we're saying, let them do their job and let them do their job safely. Now, no one is safe, not even aid workers, and no place is safe in Gaza. I think it's absolutely time that there would be a ceasefire, that there would be a deal where the hostages would also go home. It's a win-win situation that would bring respite for people in Gaza and Israel. People are absolutely exhausted after almost 1 year of a vicious, vicious war. It's time for this to come to an end.
Can you give us an update on that vaccination program? Because we had heard about how it was going to work. Has it been working?
Yes, it has been, actually, against all odds, Claire. And today is the last day of that campaign. This is stage one, bear in mind. Our aim was to reach more than 600,000 kids across the Gaza Strip with vaccination against polio, children under the age of 10 years old. And we've done it in the middle areas, and we've done it in the south. And today is the last day in the north and in Gaza City. And then we will have to do all of this all over again at the end of September, because with polio, you need to give children two rounds of vaccines so that the vaccine holds.
Mm-hmm. And did that vaccination window allow you to do other things that you might otherwise find difficult because of how dangerous the situation is?
Look, there's no question that these area poses were very helpful for our medical and health teams to go around and to give children the vaccine. People were also relieved that finally, just for a few hours, in certain areas, there was no bombardment and no airstrike, which shows that when there is a political will, there is a way, which means that there can be a ceasefire and there should be a ceasefire.
All right. And just finally, I mean, this particular strike, just going back to where we started, the highest death toll amongst your staff in a single instant, does it change anything when it comes to the work that UNRWA does? Does it make UNRWA reassess what you're doing?
Every day it becomes more difficult for our teams in Gaza. Every day it becomes more challenging for them to continue and do what they are committed to doing. But we're there. We continue against all these challenges. And despite these bombardments and the airstrikes, our shelters continue to be open, housing tens of thousands of people at a time who depend for their sheer survival on UNRWA and its staff and the little humanitarian assistance that we are able to give to people.
Juliet, many thanks for your time.
Thanks, Claire.
Well, I'm joined on the line now by Alistair Bunkle, who's Sky News Middle East correspondent. Alistair, thank you for joining us. Our politicians here are saying we must never allow this to be normalised. And we hear Juliet saying there that they have never seen this before. I mean, we are talking about six UN staff being killed in an airstrike and then things carry on. And I hear today that there have been more airstrikes. Has it lost its power to shock where you are in the Middle East?
Yeah, I think if I'm being honest, it has done. And I think there is a degree of normalization about what is happening in Gaza, not just in Gaza, in the West Bank and here in Jerusalem as well, to a different extent. But still, I think that after almost now a year of war, people, I mean, it'd be wrong to say people have got used to airstrikes that cause a great loss of life. But they are pretty much a daily thing, almost every single day instance like this happen. And so it is, I'm afraid, only natural that after time, people do become somewhat inured to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, a more detailed ceasefire proposal is expected in the coming days. How many times have we had this conversation, Alistair? But there were comments at the weekend from the chief US negotiator on Gaza. So where does that stand?
My opinion is that I don't think a ceasefire is close. I don't see, read or hear anything different this time from the many times that we've been in this situation before. And as you say, we've spoken about it, I've lost count of how many times. The reason why I'm pessimistic is because I'm not convinced why it is in the best interests of either side to do a deal at the moment. And what I mean by that is that, you know, essentially it comes down to, or if a ceasefire is going to happen, it will come down to two men giving it the green light. That is Benjamin Netanyahu and Yahya Sinwar. Now, I'm sure Netanyahu wants to do everything he can do to get the hostages who are remaining in Gaza out of Gaza. But at the same time, if you look at the sort of the bigger military strategy that Israel is pursuing, it requires them, at least in their calculations, to remain in certain places in Gaza, like the Philadelphia corridor, the Netzarim corridor. They still have to defeat Hamas militarily to achieve their set war goals, which they haven't quite done yet. They've certainly made a lot of progress, and the IDF are saying that Hamas have virtually collapsed in all areas. But, you know, there is still more to do. So that's why I don't think that a ceasefire is necessarily what the Israeli government wants right now. And you've got to ask whether Yahya Sinwar wants one either, given that his aim is the destruction of Israel still, and he still, I think, clings on to the hope that Iran, Hezbollah and others will join in this fight, even if it looks like they won't.
Alistair, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you for talking to us. Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent. We'll be back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.